A new round of US unilateral sanctions came into effect on July the 1st, planned to affect the Iranian economy hugely. The sanctions target the barter of Iran's currency, the rial, the country's auto sector, shipbuilding, and petroleum industry. New tightening sanctions are being imposed on the Iranian nation while the country is dealing with an inflation rate of over 31%. Many political analysts believed that the United States was expected not to put into effect these new sanctions while a moderate candidate won the June presidential election. They had predicted that the US administration would defer their decision on the new sets of economic pressures. To their chagrin, now many countries as well as international companies have to choose between the US and Iran. In this edition of Iran Today, we will take a closer look at the new round of US sanctions against Iran. Since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the United States has administered several sets of unilateral sanctions against Iran. Up to 2007, six Iranian banks were prohibited from transferring money to or from US banks. Culminated in 2012, these sanctions expanded to include all Iranian financial institutions. Moreover, the US administration placed embargoes on other Iranian sectors, namely the country's oil exports.
The US government and a number of European governments have been in the business of hurting Iranian people for many years. They started this about 60 years ago with the 1953 coup d'etat against the government of Iran, Mossadegh's government. And they supported the Shah after that brutal dictator. They supported Saddam during the war that he had with Iran. And then you see all the sanctions that are coming up. So they have been in the business of hurting Iranian people for many years.
Since 2002, Iran's nuclear program has been regarded with suspicion by the US and EU countries. The West pushed the IAEA to report Iran to the UN Security Council on February the 4th, 2006, which made the case totally politicized. Since then, the UN Security Council resolutions passed resolutions against Iran, although the country has been a fully cooperative member of the IAEA. Up to now, none of the IAEA reports announced a breach of the NPT articles by Iran. Even 16 US intelligence agencies have confirmed that Iran is not seeking to build a nuclear bomb.
The pretext for this is claiming that Iran's nuclear program is not peaceful, that Iran is covertly has a nuclear weapons program. Well, of course it does not. America knows that. 16 US intelligence agencies annually make an assessment of Iran and other countries, and every year they say the same thing. There is no evidence whatsoever to show Iran has a nuclear program with nuclear weapons ambitions. It says something to the effect that we don't know that this does not exist, but we cannot find any evidence that it does.
However, in 2012, the EU agreed to freeze the assets of the Central Bank of Iran, disconnect all Iranian banks from the SWIFT, the world's hub of electronic financial transactions, and impose an oil embargo on the country. In July 2013, the US government also enforced sanctions on Iran's shipping, shipbuilding, and automobile industry. The new round of sanctions put also a ban on any sale or trade of gold, as well as exchange of the Iranian currency.
The US Congress goes along with the Zionist lobby on this. I think the White House is willing to take a look and reconsider some of these. But as you know, Iran is in the crosshairs of the Zionist regime, and they're trying to damage them in every way possible, including squeezing the population through economic sanctions that cause inflation, that deprive the country of certain medicines and medical equipment in some cases, and also certain foodstuffs.
In order to have a stable and organized world, nearly all the states on Earth have accepted to obey the international law, international regulations that are enforced by means of certain measures. One of these measures, according to Chapter 7 of the United Nations Charter, is sanction.
Generally, the countries which employed sanctions to make a stability in the world misused it and became violators of the international law. Sanctions were applied against ordinary people. Sanctions were leveled against weak and third world countries. Who applied these sanctions? Arrogant and bullying countries, which utilized sanctions to hinder development in the weaker countries. All in all, we see that sanctions have not been practical measures to enforce the international law. They resulted in starvation in Haiti. They caused the migration and exile of the elite, experts and educated in Yugoslavia.
In order to penalize a country, three factors must be taken into consideration. There have to be legitimate reasons for sanctions. Human rights issues must be taken into consideration, and the intensity of punishment must be relative to its alleged crime.
Punishment must be individual, not collective. People should not be punished collectively. Suppose a government or a country violates the international law. Should all the people living in that country be punished? It's against all legal principles. It's against the basics of penal codes.
On July the 1st, the US put to effect sanctions against the Iranian currency, the rial. The US government penalizes any institutions which facilitate significant transactions in the Iranian currency. The sanctions also prohibit any sales or barters of gold to Iran.
Attacking the rial is just one of the latest measures. Of course, Iran's financial center, financial activity, central bank, and so on have come under attack. America is doing everything it can to cause as much harm economically to Iran, and the target of the sanctions really is less the government and more ordinary Iranians.
The new sanctions target Iran's auto sector as well. After the petroleum industry, auto sector is the largest industry in Iran, generating 10% of Iran's GDP. The ninth round of sanctions by Barack Obama expands to ban the sale or transfer of goods or services being used in Iran's automobile industry.
In the recent years, Iranian car manufacturers tried to decrease their dependence on foreign automakers. Also, we attempted to produce auto parts ourselves. Now, we need to import just 5% of the auto parts for making some particular cars. That is, 95% of the parts are domestically produced. However, we need to import auto parts to manufacture some other automobiles.
In 2012, PSA Peugeot Citroën cut all trades with Iran Khodro, the largest Iranian car manufacturer, leading to thousands of layoffs and a $1.5 billion loss for Europe's second largest automaker. In the previous years, Iran's government tried to support the country's auto sector in order to cushion the impact of the sanctions on the auto industry.
These sanctions can damage our auto sector, causing pressures on the ordinary people. In the past, Iran's parliament passed some laws to support the industry and decrease the losses. Currently, Iranian lawmakers are prepared to ratify any bill or pass any law to back domestic car producers.
In the same year, all the companies collaborating with Iran's oil, gas, and petrochemical industry were told to choose between Washington and Tehran. The limitation included an embargo on the purchase of Iranian oil. Also, European insurers, which control 90% of marine insurance in the world, were prohibited to give any service to Iran.
Since last year, we have seen the culmination of the pressures exerted on our country by the US and EU. They have targeted some critical points, including crude exports. They tried to dissuade our customers from buying our oil. They attempted to decrease our share of the oil market. They have also prohibited us from using our resources.
Since then, Iran has managed to export its oil by making the private sector enter the trade, as well as instructing Iranian insurance companies to provide insurance for the NITC ships.
We are not supposed to give up with our hands up when they level new sanctions. Naturally, the Islamic Republic devises some mechanisms to cushion the blow of the sanctions, but we cannot deny this has its own costs and we have to pay them.
We made oil ties with countries which are not affected by the sanctions and continue their oil imports from Iran, or countries which need our oil to the extent that the U.S. has to exempt them from the oil embargoes. Consequently, the U.S. has had to exempt 9 countries which import huge amounts of Iran's oil from the sanctions, because these countries are heavily dependent on our oil exports. If they decide not to import Iran's oil, they have to suffer huge financial losses.
Not only have all foreign companies been prohibited to import oil from Iran, but they have been forced by the US Department of Treasury not to do any kind of business with Iranian companies.
You don't have means of payments, you cannot trade. Now, if you trade, you either trade on your domestic money or on an international currency. The most quoted international currency is dollar. When they put a sanction on Iranian dollar revenue, which is oil revenue, or a sanction on the Iranian payments in international payments, which is, let's say, by LCs or by IOUs or by whatever means of payments you have, when you cannot make the payments in either currency, it means you don't have a deal. When you don't have a deal, you don't have a business.
After the escalating business links between Iranian and Georgian trading companies in 2012, recently the US urged Georgia to cut the trade lines.
Imposing sanctions against natural persons as well as private enterprises is totally against what is claimed by countries preaching democracy and free trade, since these natural persons are allowed to do any economic activities. Countries which impose the sanctions contradict themselves, contradict the principles they believe in, to use sanctions and put more pressure on us.
Although such international pressures can be suffocating for an economy, Iran had trade ties with 150 countries over the past year, with a volume of foreign trade exceeding $80 billion.
The Islamic Republic tries to work at full capacity to circumvent Western sanctions and also lessen the impacts of them. As you see, up to now, these sanctions have not affected our economy hugely.
As a result of the unrelenting sanctions imposed by the US and the EU countries, Iranian patients who suffer from special conditions are struggling to receive the costly and ongoing medical treatment they need. The medication these patients require is mostly produced in Europe and North America. Although the sanctions do not directly put a ban on selling the medications to Iran, sanctions on the banking sector hinder the import of them.
They say medicine is not sanctioned. Okay, medicine is not sanctioned. But if you want to open the LC and pay for the medicine, you can't. It means practically medicine is sanctioned. Now, who is using the medicine? The sick. Now it shows that you are hurting the sick. I mean, these people have no shame, have no human quality, and they speak about humanity.
To make matters worse, the value of the Iranian rial plunged sharply last year, partially due to the sanctions. With the value of the dollar almost tripling, the prices of imported pharmaceuticals and medical equipment in Iran have sharply increased. This affected the lives of nearly 6 million patients in Iran.
Ordinary Iranians cannot get what they need all too often. I need certain medications because of situations that I face. I don't know whether I could get these medications if I lived in Iran, but it's very possible I couldn't or couldn't get enough of them as I need. So these things would be targeting me. They would want me to blame my government. Well, I think most Iranians are too smart to buy that, and they don't blame the government. They know who's at fault. America's at fault. Israel is at fault. They're the ones that are blamed. And the more the sanctions are piled on, the more abuse America and Israel impose on Iran.
Western leaders claim that the so-called sanctions do not target the Iranian people. But this struggle of life and death clearly shows that the Iranian government has not been their only target. This raises the question that, according to the international law, whether the sanctions imposed by the UNSC, US and EU are legal. Article 25 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and of his family, including food, clothing, housing and medical care, and the right to security in the event of unemployment, sickness, disability or other lack of livelihood.
Never do the international law, the United Nations Charter, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights give the country's organizations the right to impose such sanctions which cause backwardness, starvation or mortality from special diseases. There are a lot of people in Iran who need the medications which should be imported from other countries. We also
stand. While Western media keeps repeating that the quote-unquote crippling and smart sanctions are aimed at stopping the government from pursuing its nuclear energy program, on no occasion do they discuss problems like the shortage of medicine. Even when such topics are brought up, Western media ironically blames the Iranian government.
You don't see any slightest sense of objectivity in Western media outlets, mainstream Western media outlets. You don't see any sense of justice. In fact, occasionally, given the fact that a lot of these media outlets are owned by the 1%, who many of them are Zionist supporters of the Israeli government, you see in reality that sometimes they go beyond what their governments say. They are even harsher toward Iran than the rhetoric that comes from European capitals or Washington.
In addition, Western media has never turned their spotlight on Israel, which has never allowed any IAEA inspections and is predicted to hold an estimated 200 nuclear warheads.
Not only not criticizing Israel for having nuclear weapons, they're actually helping Israel through military aid. About $3 billion a year of aid is given to the illegal Israeli government by the United States. Even many European governments also support different types of packages for the Israeli government.
Abiding by the new round of US sanctions on Iran's radio and TV channels, on July the 1st, International Telecommunications Satellite Organization, Intelsat, took off the air several Iranian channels, including Press TV, Hispan TV, Al Alam, as well as iFilm, which broadcasts entertaining movies and serials. Iran is going to pursue the issue by preparing a lawsuit against the satellite service provider as the country believes that the move was against the principles of the International Telecommunications Satellite Organization, ITSO, which ensures that all countries in the world have access to international public telecommunications services for voice, data, video communications, and internet access that are provided by Intelsat.
Well, the idea is to silence the message. Intelsat is owned by a Zionist, a French Zionist, I believe, and of course the others, Hispasat and others. The target is all Iranian media, radio, television, other means. Western countries, especially Israel and America, want to control the message. They want their message alone heard.
The move was also against the Resolution 1721 of the General Assembly of the United Nations, stipulating that communication by means of satellites should be available to the nations of the world as soon as practicable on a global and non-discriminatory basis.
Freedom of speech is hugely underscored in Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. This article stipulates that everyone has the right to freedom of thought and conscience. This right includes freedom to change his belief, accept a belief, or deny a belief. When everyone has the right to accept a belief or a religion, how can we prohibit some people from expressing the beliefs which comply with the international standards?
Officials from Iran had a meeting with Intelsat and ITSO on July the 11th and discussed the issue. The new sets of US-led sanctions are leveled against Iran, while it's just a month after the presidential election in Iran, in which the majority of Iranians voted for Hassan Rouhani, whose victory has been welcomed and interpreted as auspicious by Washington and its European allies.
The U.S. government was really concerned about Iran's nuclear program. They should have taken advantage of Mr. Rouhani's presidency, because during his campaign he had said that he would take the country into a new direction in terms of negotiations with the U.S. and a number of European governments. So, and the U.S. media outlets, a number of other outlets, used to call him a moderate. And then when he was elected, instead of we seeing a different type of action from the U.S. government, you see a new set of sanctions imposed on Iran just a few days ago.
The obvious policy of Washington should be dialogue, to sit down on the basis of mutual respect, no preconditions, and really get serious about discussing this.
Some Western analysts commented that the president-elect will change Iran's policies towards its nuclear program and halt it. But the fact is, Iran has always asserted it will never give up its quote-unquote legitimate right to use peaceful nuclear energy.
I think the nuclear issue is a settled policy in Iran, whether you have Mr. Rouhani or if you had seven other candidates that had participated in the elections. I think any of them would not change Iran's policy with regard to the nuclear issue, because that policy, Iran's nuclear program, has become part of Iran's national pride. It would be a political suicide for any candidate or any politician to oppose that program, given the fact that Iran has paid so much to achieve it. So I don't think any, whether Mr. Rouhani or any other person, will give up on the right to enrich uranium inside Iran, which is a right given to all countries in the world. They're not going to be an exception to that general rule.
While Iran has had the highest level of cooperation with the IAEA, among the members of the agency, it has been under the toughest sanctions leveled against a country in history. Many Iranian and foreign political experts believe that Iran's nuclear program is just a pretext to oppose and harm the Islamic Republic.
The arch nemesis, the adversary of Israel, number one in on the planet, is Iran. They've got to cripple Iran, because Iran represents the resistance, which is a critical threat to the colonial enterprise in Palestine, as we all know. And the Zionists are going to try to stop that. So they're using this and using additional pressures just to keep the Iranians in the position they are, which, according to the Zionists and some in Washington, they are inflexible on this file.
The issue isn't who leads Iran. The issue isn't the policies of Iran. The issue, Abbas, is an independent country outside of the Western orbit, a country that does not take orders from Washington, that does not obey Washington rules. That's the issue, Abbas. And as long as that stays the issue, that's the issue in Syria, that was the issue in Iraq, that's the issue in Afghanistan, that was the issue in Libya, that's the issue in Venezuela, and other countries that maintain their independence, their leaders, their governments get targeted for regime change. It doesn't matter who the leaders are, who the presidents are. They can be Democrats, they can be despots, they can be anything in between. The only thing Washington wants is subservience. It does not tolerate independence.
Smart and crippling. These words have been repeated many times by the US administration to describe the sanctions against the Iranians. Contrary to what the US officials say, the fact is that Iranian people are the ones both directly and indirectly being affected by the US-led sanctions.